Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Okay, this is going to be an extension of some of my last several podcasts, so if you feel like I'm repeating myself, you know, feel free to check out. But this is going to be about the smartest guy in the room syndrome that the Nuggets seem to have been suffering from when they approached this offseason. And this is going to be pretty harsh, but it's coming with a moral. And I think if we if we look at this and we look at how the Nuggets approach this, maybe they can approach this offseason with a kind of a different mindset. And I'll get to that in the second half. But first, I need to talk to you about our sponsors with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. Prop bets, you know, what you get during with every sports betting app, but it's more of an inclusive thing with Bet Online because it's like it has you're basically your one-stop shop. It has everything you need to place your bets, make an informed bet, and also do other things. Like it's like when the game's over, you can head on to their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or you know, get slot games or something like that on their site. It's, you know, really, it's more than just an app on a phone. It is a one-stop shop website that you can go to and really take care of yourself and make an informed bet or just kind of chill out, which is different from every other sports betting app. It's one of those places where you can go in and get what you need, which is something, if I was a betting man, this is exactly what I would choose to use. Head to the website today or get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, all in caps, for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% off 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. There is a such thing called smartest guy in the room syndrome. And I'm not going to draw a value judgment on anything, but there seemed to be a organizational arrogance to the Nuggets as they went through this last offseason. And I've talked about this frequently. And I've even written about it. And there was a lot of decisions that the Nuggets made this last offseason, which I think they were mistakes. First and foremost was the Reggie Jackson signing. which not signing him in itself, but it was promising him the taxpayer mid-level. Because functionally what that does is it hard caps you. And it completely prevented the Nuggets from making any moves at the deadline. This Nugget team was locked in to where they could go. And essentially this team was, as soon as they gave Reggie Jackson that taxpayer mid-level, it became, this is the team. This is the team no matter what. So there's a quote from Kevin O'Connor and his article on Calvin Booth from this last offseason. And I have brought this quote up frequently. It's the most famous quote from this article that came out, I think, in September, October of last year. And this was an interview with Calvin Booth. And this is the interview that Calvin Booth was not happy about with O'Connor. But let me read the quote from this paragraph. Some of this is O'Connor, but I'll tell you when the quote from Calvin Booth begins. The Nuggets are making a calculated gamble of their own that hinges on the development of their young talent. They need them to help in the short term and hopefully become fixtures in the future. Booth's philosophy is clear. It's better to invest in the future even if it comes at the expense of immediate glory. I just want dudes that we try to develop and it's sustainable, Booth said. If it costs us the chance to win the championship this year, so be it. It's worth the investment. It's more about winning 3 out of 6, 3 out of 7, 4 out of 8 than it is trying to go back to back, unquote. Now, my issue with that particular quote is you never want to tell your players on your roster that you aren't competing this year. That struck me as not particularly well considered. And maybe this is one of those quotes that, you know, of the series of quotes that came off poorly. Calvin Booth isn't exactly the most he's articulate, but he doesn't think like Tim Connelly does, who is always thinking about how this is going to affect someone, you know, internally and stuff like that. Calvin is very matter of fact person. He's a matter of fact. He's thinking what he is, everything is an analysis and stuff like that, which is fine. Sam Hinkie was like that. Sam Hinkie never thought necessarily that what he said publicly would reflect internally. But the more you think about these quotes, the more they encapsulate the Nuggets offseason better than out in any of their actions, even the Reggie Jackson signing. The issues of smartest guy in the room syndrome really begin with the series of decisions they made that locked them into where they were. Because we saw teams were able to quickly, well, not very teams, I shouldn't say, but a team that was seemingly locked into who they were, the Dallas Mavericks, were able to make adjustments at the deadline. The Nuggets were locked, completely locked into what they were doing. Now, everyone knows that I'm not the biggest Michael Malone fan. I spoke to him over the period of 9 years that he has been the coach of this team. You know, there are other media members who know him well, very well. I am not one of those, but I have been around Malone long enough to know. I do not like some of his faults, and he's one of those people that really benefits from having a one-of-a-kind superstar in their roster like every other coach. However, in this instance, I really do have sympathy for Michael Malone. Calvin Booth and Tommy Balsettis and the members of the front office did not put him in the best position to maximize the roster this year. This was you could tell from that quote I read, this was a take a step back here, which people don't want to acknowledge. People don't want to acknowledge and take Calvin Booth at his word. And I think that is where the smartest guy in the room syndrome affected the Nuggets. Because if any veteran reads that article or sees that quote, they're going to say, well, we're not supposed to win this year. and you're telling a bunch of veterans on the roster, you're going to have to work extra hard in order to achieve said wins. And it's just a bad cycle. There are people who argue with me on this and saying that the only Nuggets approach that made any sense or was going young. That's not true because the Nuggets didn't have to sign anyone last year. I mean, quite frankly, if you are, I've said this before to people, if you have courage of your convictions, they should have just gone all in on the youth. But they re-signed Reggie Jackson and they signed Justin Holiday. And to me, that said that was a small hedge. Not an effective one, but it was a small hedge. So we got this approach, this sort of their approach of Calvin Booth really believing in, well, let's face it, Jalen Pickett. Let's say this is the notion you have with the young approach, the two draft picks were Julian Strother and Jalen Pickett, and very specifically Jalen Pickett. Pickett was the guy that you heard through back channels and you hear through in direct quotes was the guy that Booth was very enamored with. And Pickett barely saw the court. And there is a lot of different approaches that the Nuggets could have taken this year. They could have gone vet minimum signings. They could have gone a different way. They chose not to. But I keep coming back to the hedge. You sign Justin Holiday and you re-sign Reggie Jackson at a taxpayer mid-level. You probably didn't have to give him, but it was a make-good contract based on a buyout last year, which is something that it frustrates me, but it happens in the NBA. So what you are saying is we believe in these guys, sort of. And a coach is going to take those mixed signals and go, well, I'm just not going to fucking play him. And that's the God's honest truth. I've been around a lot of NBA coaches. And I think Michael Malone, like I said, I have my issues with Michael Malone. But Calvin Booth didn't exactly send him the maximized roster. This roster, everyone in the NBA was saying this, and no one wanted to believe it. This roster took a hit. Roster took a big hit when Bruce Brown left. And Calvin Booth, in that sense, was a victim of his own luck for having Jeff Green on a roster where two guys who played in Brooklyn wanted to come, and DeAndre Jordan and Bruce Brown. DeAndre Jordan and Jeff Green helped lure Bruce Brown to Denver on that small contract. So he was a victim of his own success, his own luck, of getting Bruce Brown to come in on a one-year deal, essentially, a one-year and an opt, and then the guy left, and suddenly you're left without a paddle. But in the second half of the podcast, I'll go into more detail about how maybe Calvin Booth's success with another draft pick fooled him into thinking that he could load up the back end with rookies. But where the Nuggets ended up was the worst of all worlds. And this is the frustrating part of the season. Yes, the Nuggets won 57 games. They won 57 games because they went balls to the wall after the All-Star break and went something like 21-6, something like that. And that was something that the players chose to do. Matt Morris talked about this. I don't always agree with what Matt has to say, but he's accurate on this. That was the players really wanted to do this. Now, Malone should have stepped in and said no, and I don't think Malone would ever do that because he's competitive and he's not going to do that. That competitiveness is also one thing that will lead you to believe that he won't play rookies coming after a championship year. See, you have to, and this is the same thing, this is the reason why the two timelines thing in Golden State didn't work. You were essentially telling coaches to not be competitive. Develop these guys instead of win. That is the signal. And guys who are psychotically competitive or in hotheads like Malone are not going to do that. They are just not going to do that. Even if players are the ones who are leading the charge with trying to win, to be honest with you, Malone's going to tell them no because he wants to win too. So all these factors came together. So in the second half, I'm going to talk about how a certain draft pick over another probably was the modus operandi for kind of fooling the Nuggets front office into thinking going even more young was the way to go in the new CBA. But first, I want to talk to you about Blanchard Family Wines, located between 18th and 19th and Blakenwazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. Everyone knows this, my favorite place to go in Denver for wine. It's kind of like an atmosphere thing. You just go down, sit down, relax. It's a super relaxing place to go during the afternoon, have a glass of wine, do some work. There's a bunch of restaurants around there, so if you're going to say, like, you stop there, meet some friends there, Blanchard Family Wines first, walk yourself down to a restaurant when the Rockies aren't there. But if then the Rockies are in town, stop there before game. And if it's an afternoon game, stop there afterwards. Enjoy yourself a nice, relaxing selection of reds, whites. They got Rieslings. They got partnerships with Western Slope Wineries. I highly recommend their Pinot. The Petite Pearl is good, too. These are just some great examples of great Colorado and Sonoma County wine that I think you will greatly enjoy. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th and Blakenwazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton for CSG Podcast sent you.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Christian Brown and his relative success last season really, I can't say fooled, but I think there's a mental trick that happened that kind of got the Nuggets thinking that they could go in on a developmental approach. And it's because Christian Brown was able to slot in amidst a lot of veterans very well. He wasn't surrounded by a subpar bench and rookies like he was this last year. Christian Brown is a steady, low floor, low ceiling kind of player. A typical late first round draft pick. Guy who's had enough time in college to where he can make an immediate impact, but he's not going to become, you know, something other than a tremendous role player. So in this approach, when you slot in someone who is a tremendous role player, they are able to fit in amongst veterans very well. This is why he fits in amongst the starting lineup as well as he does, because he's mature and he's got that basketball acumen. The Peyton Watson pick was the wild card, and Peyton's been okay. He hasn't been tremendous. He has literally no offensive game. And he's not a great three-point shooter. He is a go-get-the-ball-and-dunk sort of guy, and you count on him for the defense. And he developed a little bit this year, a little bit. He is going to be a very slow rise. The Peyton Watson pick is the one that you could tell Calvin Booth was very invested in. He was, everyone you hear through back channels, him talking up Peyton Watson. Peyton Watson, Peyton Watson, Peyton Watson. He's the one to watch. And if Peyton Watson was going to take a big leap, it would have been this year. And it was an okay leap. It was kind of like a hop, you know, doing hopscotch. You know, it was, he went forward, but it wasn't tremendous because there's a reason Peyton Watson was projected as a second round pick last year. So you fast forward into this year. What the Nuggets are attempting to do is fill the roster with high floor, low ceiling guys. The problem is you need good players, and you need players who have you need players who are going to be better than good. You're going to project to take a leap, because if you're in a scenario where you are in a CBA that is going to encourage not keeping a team together, you're going to need to replace key guys with other key guys. And what the Nuggets have done is avoid taking risk. And if you avoid taking risk, you're going to end up with what you end up. Late round guys who are old are all well and good. If you are 100% able to keep your roster together at the quality that you have, say like if the Nuggets starting five was locked in for 3 years at a time, they're not. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is up for free agency this year, and the Nuggets are really going to struggle to keep him, kind of like Bruce Brown last year. So in the pipeline, you don't need, you know, you need guys who are going to take a big leap. You need guys who are going to be able to take a step to starter very big. And the problem the Nuggets are at right now with their investment in late round old rookie picks is that they're not necessarily going to be the guys that are going to do that. They're competent. This is why replacing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with Christian Brown isn't a home run, because Christian Brown, unfortunately for him, hasn't taken a leap offensively. And you need to be a consistent floor spacer in order to be able to replace, quote-unquote, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. The Nuggets may be locked into a position of having to overpay and get deep into the second apron for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a guy who's over 30 years old, because they don't have that guy behind him. And who they've been drafting is old rookies who have high floors, but they don't necessarily have that big leap. So the Nuggets because they got into smartest guy in the room syndrome, they have locked themselves into this thing. And they're forced into keeping I don't know if they'll be able to. I doubt it. But you're looking at a market for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope that is going to be quite good. And having a market quite good is going to put you in a pricing area that is not necessarily conducive to your long-term health as a team. And this is something that the Nuggets are facing. Forget Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. is locked into a contract. He is who he is. And I've talked about it. The Nuggets need to explore any trade that they could, including with Mike. The problem is Mike is Mike. And Michael Porter Jr. is Michael Porter Jr. The big decision is Jamal Murray and what you're going to pay him. And I think Nuggets fans don't really want to talk about this. And I've really, really been fascinated watching people dance around this. Even media members dance around this. Dance around. You're looking to extend someone who has not played over 70 games since his second year in the pros. And this has been an issue going forward, and quite frankly, Mike's locked in. You could talk about his injuries, but Mike's locked in for another 3 years. This is about Jamal Murray and him going forward, And this is going to be a decision the Nuggets are going to have to make. And people aren't talking about it right now, which is super fascinating to me. Super fascinating to me. It's like people don't want to talk about this. But that is also going to be a factor here. With the Nuggets thinking in their approach to this last season, there's a cascading series of decisions that people just don't want to acknowledge. There are just one thing leads to another. The Nuggets, one of my big issues with their approach, and this, like I said, smartest guy in the room syndrome, one of my biggest issues of their approach to this last season was, you are giving guaranteed contracts to people who are both second-round picks, who you don't have to give guaranteed contracts to. There's no reason they had to give Jalen Pickett and Hunter Tyson a guaranteed contract. They were second-round picks. Second-round picks get non-guaranteed deals. They gave them both guaranteed deals. And there's just this, like, what's the upside? What are we talking about here? And if you are going to commit to something, you got to get guys who are going to have a high ceiling, and that involves risk. And I think the Nuggets were trying to outsmart themselves. And you're saying, Jeff, you're overreacting. Well, it's like, it's not about that. Because of the Nuggets' approach, basically the last two off seasons, going back to the adding two rookies on a team that was looking to win a championship, and then adding three more rookies the next year, the Nuggets have two more draft picks this year. The Nuggets have locked themselves into roster churn with high floor, low ceiling guys, and they're going to eventually need to replace guys in their starting lineup, because this is just the way the CBA is. And it's a series of decisions they've made. And the problem with this last year is it didn't pay off. The Nuggets got themselves the worst of both worlds. Because whatever these low ceiling, high floor guys can do, well, you weren't able to see it, because there's no way Michael Malone's going to sacrifice wins, or the players, or the veterans on the roster are going to sacrifice wins. And you were trying to force an entire back end of the roster consisting of Colin Gillespie, Hunter Tyson, Jalen Pickett, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown. You have all those guys signed in guaranteed deals, plus Colin Gillespie, who's number six. He's a second-year dude. Like, I've never seen this before. And you can't keep locking yourself into getting draft picks. This is why championship teams don't have a ton of young players. It's like you can't maintain winning if you're constantly developing. It's just not possible. The reason the Mavs were able to develop around Derek Lively was because Lively was surrounded by vets. And even some of the other young guys are third year in the league. That's a vast difference between having rookies and second year players in the league who barely played. This is just something that the Nuggets, like, I don't think took into account. I think they thought that their acumen with getting these diamonds in the rough as far as old rookies go extended beyond Christian Brown, who was surrounded by veterans. And the flawed thinking just compounds on itself. My worry of this is that the Nuggets are kind of going to lock themselves into a four-seed territory. It's going to burn out Nikola Jokic, and you're going to end up with no one being satisfied. That is my worry. And the test for the Nuggets this year is going to be in the draft. Because really, that is the only time the Nuggets can really make any sort of moves. They certainly can't do it in the free agency unless people come here and vet minimums. They're down a backup center. They need a ball handler. They need more veterans on this roster. And I'm not entirely sure how they can get them. In the pursuit of being the smartest people in the room, They kind of outsmarted themselves, and now they're left with a weird middle area that is very frustrating for, I'm sure, the veterans on the roster and even more, and the coaching staff. Before I go, I want to extend my condolences to the family of Aaron Gordon. His brother Drew Gordon died tragically in a car accident in Oregon, and that's horrible. Absolutely horrible. I can't even imagine what he is going through right now. AG is one of the good dudes, and his brother was certainly a good dude. His own whole family is just a bunch of very affable people. And it's extremely, extremely sad to hear what happened. And my heart goes out to AG. It's just, I hope he takes all the time he needs to grieve. And I can't even imagine this. It's got to be just a giant, giant, devastating blow to him and his family. My heart goes out to you, AG. Oh, I know you're not listening to this, but I hope that you're seeking comfort amongst family. And I wouldn't wish this on anyone. I would not. Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast. I'll be back soon with another episode. Goodbye.